Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. It was grace that caught my wandering and fallen soul. Hallelujah. Come on, bless the Lord again. Come on. Come on. I miss the voices of our seniors. When I see one of them in the congregation, I call them up and let them sing, because I love to hear those old songs. If I could sing them, I would sing them. But since I can't, I call them up, Miss Van. You know, I miss Miss Nevid and some of those others. So. But I believe God is going to bring us back together. He's going to do it. And oh, what a time we are going to have. Listen, thank God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank Him for blessing us beyond measure, beyond enumeration. Certainly, God's that kind of God. He's God and He's God alone. He's above all and all is beneath Him. He rules and super rules. He orchestrates our affairs to bring us to His end. He works all things out according to the counsel of His own will. Certainly we thank God for the deacons and the trustees who have devoted us on this morning. Thank God for the preachers who are here, in the persons of Reverend McCoy, Reverend Skipper, Reverend Mims, any other preachers in the congregation. Certainly thank God for the environmental safety team that have assured our safety coming in and assures our safety going out. Thank God for this choir that have sang so melodiously. Amen. And the musicians. Thank God for Sister Van. Thank God for all of you. It's good for us to be alive. Amen. God has blessed us, and He has blessed us indeed. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, and it reads this way. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that He entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched Him, whether He would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against Him. But He knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, He said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Look at someone, if you will, and say, "The abounding power of Jesus to restore." Look at another and say, "The abounding power of Jesus to restore." Amen. the abounding power of Jesus to restore. Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, is a continuation of Jesus' teachings concerning the Sabbath. The first of his teachings is nestled in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus and his disciples were accused of violating the Sabbath when they walked through a grain field, plucked grains, and ate. According to the scribes and the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, their tradition, the Talmud, Jesus violated Soto, chapter 5, verse 3, which forbids anyone to walk more than 2,000 cubits, 2,833 feet, a little more than a half a mile on the Sabbath day. If anyone walked more than a half a mile on the Sabbath day, he or she violated the law according to their traditions. Jesus made it clear that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. Look at someone, if you will, and say rest. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and being Lord of the Sabbath means that he is the source of rest, the cause of rest, the supplier of rest, the giver of rest. For Jesus alone said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's the Lord of the Sabbath, which means that he's not governed by the Sabbath or by the traditions of men placed on the Sabbath. He is not hindered or hampered by the Sabbath. He can do and does perform works of miracles, works of mercy, and works of grace that meets the need of mankind on the Sabbath day. He met the disciples' needs in verses 1 through 5, and here in verses 6 through 11, he meets a man's need by restoring his withered hand. Notice he restored. The word restored means to reconstitute in health. It means to bring back to the original state. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass, also on another Sabbath, which means that this incident didn't take place on the same Sabbath. Here it is, 7 days later, and the Pharisees and scribes, the doctors of the law, are still watching Jesus. He entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. A man whose right hand was withered. Withered means that his hand was shriveled up, and that it was not a congenital or innate problem that the man was born with. Something caused his hand to wither after he was born. Maybe it was an accident or some disease that he contracted, but something caused his hand to wither. How do you know it wasn't something he was born with? Because you don't restore something that has not been in an original state prior to. So he was restored means that he was brought back to the original state. His right hands were messed up. And Luke seems to put emphasis on the fact that it was his right hand, and it means that it was his good hand. It was his hand of power. Hand that he used to make a living. His hand was messed up. It was withered. And being that it was his right hand, his situation was even worse. His natural instrument of power was powerless. Now, to understand the text, relatively to us today, we must look at it and see it three-dimensional. First of all, he is a real man with a physical problem. His hand is withered. Number two, he is a man with a spiritual problem because he is in the synagogue, but he doesn't ask Jesus to restore him. Let me pause on the second dimension, if you will. Now, understand that in the three gospel accounts, you will see this man, nowhere in the three gospel accounts, you will see this man seeking Jesus. All three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, says that this man was in the synagogue on the Sabbath while Jesus was teaching. Let me pause parenthetically to say there are a lot of people that show up Sunday after Sunday with no expectation of God doing anything in their life. We come, but we really don't seek him for a breakthrough. We come, really don't seek him in prayer for him to do for us what we need him to do. We have become immune, used to our conditions. Matter of fact, when we pray at night, we don't even bow and mention our problems because we think that we have to tolerate, deal with, and accept what has been thrust upon us. He's in the synagogue, just like we're in the sanctuary. He said nothing. He's a man with a physical problem. His hand is withered. Number two, he's a man with the spiritual problem. He is in the synagogue, but he does not say or seek Jesus for help. Number three, this man is a picture of the disabling effect of sin on humanity. Brothers and sisters, sin renders us weak, withered, wasted, and wretched. But thanks be to God that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to straighten us out. He came to restore. He came to refocus, rebuild, re-energize. Thanks be to God that Jesus came to restore us. If we would be truthful, every last one of us in here was messed up. A bigger amen goes there. We were messed up. We were withered, shriveled up, but Jesus came along and straightened us out. Several things I want to show you in the text that warrants our attention. First of all, notice the controversy concerning the restoration. Verse 7 says, the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. Can't you feel the tension in verse 7? The controversy is this. The Jews saw healing as work, therefore healing should not take place on the Sabbath. But Jesus saw healing as giving rest. Therefore, it should be done on the seventh or the Sabbath day. They saw it as work. Jesus saw it as rest. Aren't you glad? Jesus don't see things like we see it. Aren't you glad your miracle, your healing, your deliverance, your restoration is not predicated upon the people around you? Aren't you glad that you don't have to wait for a popular opinion to be healed and restored by the Lord? That God, if he have to stand all alone, he is able to restore. They saw it as work. He saw it as rest. John chapter 5 tells us of the first conflict that he had with the Jewish authorities associated with the Sabbath. You Bible readers remember Jesus, as he was walking into Jerusalem, he went by the pool of Bethesda. And there was a man who was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Jesus walking by, passing by, he said, "Do you want to be made whole?" And the man responded, "I have no one to put me in." Jesus says, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And the man obeyed, and instantly he was made whole. He gathered up his pallet and walked. And the Pharisees opposed Jesus, not the man, because they said it is not lawful to heal or to do work on the Sabbath day, nor is it lawful for the man to carry his bed on the Sabbath day. From that hour, they spied on Jesus. They watched him. They watched his actions. They watched what he would say. They watched what he would do. And let me pause parenthetically to say to you, they are watching you too. You think they're only watching Jesus. You think they're only watching me as the pastor. You think they're only watching us as preachers, but they are watching you too. Everybody's not for what you're doing. They're not for the good you do. Matter of fact, the good you do angers some people. The service you do, you render unto the Lord, angers some people. They are watching you. They were watching. They were watching to see what he would do. Now, watch this. They were extremists in the fact that they thought Jesus had violated their Sabbath regulations, their traditions. They were extremists in the fact that they would not allow anything new to come on the horizon. They were extremists. But now, here's another extreme. Now, not only is being traditionally bound extreme, but being so ready to abandon every tradition and embrace everything new and reject teachings and truth that God has given in the past for us, today is an extreme. In other words, you can't get rid of everything that has transpired in church. We have a new group that has come up on the scene that don't want church to look like church. They want church to look like a club. This is not a club. This is not a place of disco lights. This is not a place of dancing, worldly dances. This is a place for us to come and praise and worship and to receive the word from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. They were watching him. placing vexing and irksome restrictions on the Sabbath. And that was opposition. The text says the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. They watched him. Now, the word watched in the Greek means to observe a person insidiously. It carries the idea of spying on or watching out of the corner of one's eye. Don't turn the head to look at you. Cut their eyes to look at you. We got some eye cutters in here. Y'all too quiet on that point. We got some eye cutters. Don't turn the head. Cut the eyes. Other day, I received a text. And the text had a heart on the end of it, you know, expressing the fact that they wanted me to share their love with Trinity and Lady Rogers. And Lady Rogers, she was sweeping. I didn't know if she even looked at and saw my phone, but she looked down and she said, "Who sent that heart to you?" She cut her eyes. She didn't turn her head. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, you don't even have to turn your head to be looking and to watch. You can look with your head straight, with your eyes cut. They were watching him to see if they could accuse him, that they might find an accusation against him. The word accusation in the Greek means to incriminate a person or to physically condemn a person. They wanted to condemn him for the good that he done. They were fault finders. And you have people that find fault in everything. Listen, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to endure ministry, if you're going to endure as a Christian, you're going to have to develop rhino skin. You need to be tough. I mean, because people will speak ill of you even when you do good. You can't worry about every accusation people hurl your way or what or people say of you. You just have to keep on living for the Lord. Y'all ought to encourage somebody in here today. Tell them to keep on living for the Lord. They were looking for something to accuse him. And you know one thing about the Lord. In opposition, he's omniscient. Verse 8 says, but he knew their thoughts. Omniscient means having total knowledge, the quality of knowing everything. Jesus knows everything. He knows when a single sparrow falls to the ground from the Father. Matthew 10 verse 29. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. Matthew 10 verse 30. He knows our very thoughts even before we speak them. Psalms 139:4. Solomon said that the Lord knows the heart of all the children of mankind. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 39. John chapter 2 verse 24, B clause to verse 25. Jesus knows all men. He has no need for any witness about men, for he himself has knowledge of what is in man. You can't keep a secret from the Lord. He knows you in and out. He is all knowing. He knows everything. Brothers and sisters, no man can get past Jesus. No man can fool Jesus. No man can psych Jesus out. Jesus is not fooled or deceived by the smiles on the face. Yeah. He knows the heart.
That's right.
He knows the thoughts.
That's right.
And he knew that they were against him.
Amen.
You see, the controversy in the restoration, but right in the midst of the controversy, Jesus gives a command for restoration. Verse 8, Jesus said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." Now, understand that if you're going to receive the miracle of God, if you're going to be restored, you have to heed public instructions. Get up and stand up in the midst. In other words, Jesus told the man, stand up in front of everyone. Hand withered. Stand up, let them see you. Let them see you in your messed up state. See, some of us can't receive a miracle from the Lord because we don't want people to see us while we messed up. See, we are ashamed and shy, messed up. Now, we weren't shame and shy in the world. Come on, talk to me now. Because we didn't have sense to be shame and shy in the world. We did all kinds of crazy dancing in front of folk in the world. We were drinking and driving in the world. We were smoking and doing all of that stuff in the world. But now that we have come out of the world in the church, we want to be shame and shy. We don't want people to know that we still have some issues. I'm looking at you now. I can see. If doorknobs could tell and walls could talk, I'm looking at you. You don't want anybody to know what you're going through. Jesus, stand up right in the midst. You don't want them to know you still have flaws, that you say things you have no business saying, you do things you have no business doing. Jesus, stand up. You're trying to convince folk that you got it all together. And you just as shriveled as you can be. Not just your hand, but your whole life. He says, stand up. Public instructions. We don't want to heed public instructions because we don't want him to single us out. But when you're messed up in need of a miracle, you don't care who knows how messed up you are, because you know the end results. If you do what he say, he's going to do something about what's plaguing you. Get up right in front of the people. Right in the midst of the synagogue. He gives him public instructions that makes him a public illustration. Whew, boy, help me preach this. Jesus said to the man in the midst of the people, stand up so they can see you. I want them to take a before and after shot. See, some of you didn't get a chance to take the before shot of me. Because if you took the before shot of me, you would be praising God now, because now you see the after shot of me. I was so wayward as a boy, nobody thought I would make it. Matter of fact, when the Lord laid his hands on me and I was walking around the street in the neighborhood one day, one of the old ladies in the neighborhood saw me and she began to cry because she says, you are somebody different now. God has done something in your life. Listen, he can take a nobody and make him a somebody to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Do I have any witnesses in here? A before and after. Some of you have dug holes and buried the before you. Your shame of what you used to be. But don't you know that authenticates your testimony? Don't you know that really illustrates the power of Jesus Christ in his ability to restore, to save, to deliver, to heal and set free? He told the man to stand up. Let him see you. Let him see your hand. Notice this man stood up and he obeyed the Lord, and Jesus gave him another command. He says, stretch forth your hand. He didn't even know if he could. The picture is his hand was drawn, his arm was withered. His hand and arm. When Jesus said to him, stretch it forth. He was shocked himself as he stretched forth his hand. Listen, what God is doing in your life not only shocks other people, but it will shock you. Do I have a witness? He said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And when the man heard the command, he obeyed the Lord and he stretched forth his powerless hand. And while he was stretching forth his powerless hand, the Lord was infusing power and he gave him the ability to stretch forth his hand. Whatever the Lord commands of us, he gives us the power to do it. As he was stretching forth the limb, so long powerless, the man discovered that the people saw that the cure was already performed. The Lord won't, he won't ask you to do anything he won't give you power to do. For the man in his obedience received restoration in his hand. And the Bible says that the man had a complete healing. Do I have a witness? Jesus don't halfway heal you. He don't three-fourths or three-quarters of the way heal you. He heals you completely. Ain't God all right? He healed the man, his withered hand. And the man moved his arm out. And I can see him moving it out and in, because he hadn't moved it out and in years. He started praising the Lord because his arm was able to move. And the Bible says that the man began to glorify God. Listen, when you obey the command of God, God will bless your life. You ought to look at somebody and tell them, when you obey the Lord, he will bless your life. He healed the man with his power. Listen, I want to close it by telling you that not only did the Lord heal my hand, but he healed my whole life.
Not only did I stretch my hand to the Lord, but I gave him my whole life. I was a wretch undone. I was withered from the head to the feet. I was messed up in and out. And I gave him my messed up wretched self. And when I gave Jesus me, he gave me back a better me. He picked my life up. He turned my life around. He restored me and made me whole. That's why I praise him like I praise him. That's why I sing like I sing. That's why I shout like I shout. That's why I preach like I preach. Because the Lord has did it for me. Is there anybody in the room who can be a witness that the Lord restored your life? He restored your life from what it was to what it is now. You got a before and after. Is there anybody here can be a before and after? You can look back over your life and see what the Lord has brought you from. And he has brought you from a mighty long ways. He got power to restore. Let me leave you. How do you know he got power to restore? Because one Friday he went to a hill called Calvary. He let them nail his hand and rivet his feet. He let them put a crown of thorns on his head and raise him between two thieves, raise him between heaven and earth. He died that Friday, gave his spirit to his father, his body to the grave. But early Sunday morning, is there anybody here early? Know about early Sunday morning? If you know about early Sunday morning, you ought to stand on your feet and point at somebody and say, early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave. Not with some power, but all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? Let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah. Power to restore before and after. All of us were messed up. This man is a picture of humanity and what sin did and does to humanity. We're withered, shriveled, but Jesus came. Gave us public instructions. Made us a public example. Some people say, well, I would get saved, but I'm too ashamed and too afraid of what people will think. Jesus said, if you're ashamed to own me before man, I will not own you before my Father in heaven. Stand up. Let everybody see you. They know you got problems anyway. And you're trying to hide it, and everybody around you already know it. They can see it. You're trying to hide what people can see. They see your life going in the wrong direction. They see you straying and wandering off. And you're trying to hide it. And everybody see your condition. Jesus, stand up. Right in the midst of them. Stand up right in the midst of the people. He'll call you out like that at church. I told you Wednesday or Tuesday. Some of us stumbled into the treasure. Came to church, didn't intend to get saved. We were here for some other reason. And the Lord told us to stand up right in the midst of the church. Right in the midst, made us come down the aisle to give our life to his son, Jesus Christ, to be saved.
He's doing that now. Public instructions, public illustration. He wants to use your life as a marquee. Most of us are too ashamed about what we used to do. We are too ashamed to say what we used to do. I think that's the reason why we can't really have an impact and effect on our young people, because we don't want to say to them, we used to be just like you and do some of the things you're doing. You see me now, but there was a before picture. I hadn't always been this way, neither have you. What you're looking at now is the power of the Lord Jesus to restore. Hallelujah. He's working on me. He's not through with me yet. He that begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't you worry. Be confident of that. Some people want to quit because they stumble. It didn't start with you and it's not going to end with you, but he's going to do it. He's going to bring about perfection in your life. But you have to trust him. To obey him both privately and publicly. Lord, if you want me to be an example to the world, so be it. Here am I. You have to be like Hosea. You imagine Hosea. Righteous man. And he makes him marry a harlot. Just to illustrate the depth of his love to the nation. I'm quick to say, Lord, use me in your service. I said, all right, stand up. Stand up in the midst of them. Let them see your flaws. Let them see you. Because what I want them to see is my ability to make you whole. Hallelujah. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on today. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. He's able to save you. Secondly, if you're here and you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come. 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 Thirdly, if you're backslidden and you need to be restored, come on. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Bless you.
Hallelujah.
Come on, come on, the doors. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on. Come on, come on, the door. Come on, the doors, the doors, the doors.
You are the
come on, come on, come on. Come on.
You have won a victory.
Salvation, restoration. Family fellowship. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We have three that have come by Christian experience: Marcus, Myra, and Melinda Armstead. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord for family. Amen. Christian experience means that you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All right. We have what is called orientation. Teach orientation in person on Tuesday at 4:30. Can y'all make it Tuesday at 4:30? All right. Well, we'll get together and get a time that's good for you, okay? Well, I want you to go through the orientation four classes: salvation, fellowship, how to study the Bible, and how to partner with God in your giving. I want to empower your lives with those lessons, because in the lessons are the promises of the Lord. And as we receive the promises and put the promises in practice, the Lord will bless our lives and our living. I said earlier that He wants us to be marquees. When people look at us, they ought to see the evidence of God in our life. All right? So let me pray with you. Come on, let me pray with you. Come on, baby. Father in heaven, we thank you again for these that have come, this family. We pray and ask you, Lord, to touch in the name of Jesus. Give them strength. We thank you for, Lord, giving them unto us. Lord, we know that their coming brings about more responsibility for us, and we will receive it because you will never lead us to and not see us through, and not, Father, give us the power to do what you command us to do. Bless this Armstead family, Lord, that they will be core members, visible, Lord, in the sanctuary and out. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus and his disciples went into Jerusalem to eat of the Passover before his crucifixion. He sent them before him to prepare the room, the place. Jesus and his disciples gathered in the upper room, and Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." After they supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament of my blood, shed for the remission of your sins, establishment of a new and living way. Take, drink." Lord, thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. Thank you for being a God in the midst of us. But truly, Lord, you have manifested your presence. Now, Father, as we make ready to descend this mountain, exit this place, but never your divine presence, give us mercy and grace. Give us sweet communion with the Holy Spirit. Bless us in our going out like you blessed us in our coming in. Keep watch over us. In Jesus' name, every heart say amen. Amen. Be blessed today.